Blog Talk Radio.
To Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers. That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show Network, and we have so many other guests. Well, welcome to the show tonight, our Thursday night Survivor show.
If you guys have a question on Survivor, you guys can call in 347-237-5506. Let's have a great show, guys.
Welcome, Survivor fans. Thanks for coming to the Rad Reality Show Network to hang out with us tonight. I'm Cherry Garcia. It's April 2nd, 2015, so no more April Fool's jokes for one whole year. We are just minutes away from starting the Mike and the Mike show with Big Mike Albright, also known as the greatest Survivor fan of all time. He's met 411 Survivor alumni so far, and he's not stopping anytime soon. Tonight, he's got a great special guest that is very near and dear to our hearts here at the Rad Reality Show Network, because he used to host our Survivor shows here on Thursday nights for a few seasons. And we've missed him dearly. Of course, I'm talking about Travis Bubba Sampson from Survivor Vanuatu. He told some of the best stories that's ever been shared on our show, and we are so happy to have him back with us tonight. Myself and Paul from Minnesota will be your co-host tonight, so don't be shy. We want you to call in and chat with Mike and Bubba at 1-347-237-5506. Once you get on our switchboard, please remember to press 1, which tells us that you want to join us on air. We're going to say a quick hi to Paul up in Minnesota, and then we're going to get Big Mike, our host, on with us and get this show started. Paul, how is everything up in Minnesota tonight?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, everyone. Everything's good. I have to, we always seem to talk a little bit about weather, and I do have a weather note from yesterday. We broke a 133-year-old record high temperature yesterday of 84 degrees that stood since 1882. I mean, I couldn't believe it. 133.
Wow. So
no.
Spring has sprung in Minnesota.
Oh yeah, it was hot. I don't like it that hot.
Yeah. 84 is that's up there. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You have to work. You'll be working on your tan pretty soon there, Paul.
Oh, I love when we break records, whether it's warm or cold. Records are
I don't care for the cold ones.
I know.
All right. Well, let's play his intro and get our host up here with us and get this party started. I can't wait. Here we go, folks.
They have volunteered to be marooned for 39 days. This is their story. This is Survivor.
Superfan, Big Mike. Big Mike, you're up.
Hey, Big Mike.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another installment of Mike on the Mic. And I think we're going to have a great show, merge episode, and there's a lot of great things to talk about, for sure. And the weather here in Ohio is wet and not 84 degrees by a long shot. Or 82 or whatever the record was up in Minnesota. We were in the 50s all day and all week. So I wish we had those temperatures.
Yeah, we must have similar temperatures, and we have rain tonight as well. So we must have a similar weather in St. Louis and in Ohio.
For sure. And it was interesting. We get the high temperatures and the rain, which are kind of what happened on the show kind of in an interesting fashion we'll get to later with.
Yeah,
some rain and a challenge I've never seen before like that.
Exactly. But before we dive into Survivor-related stuff, I saw a post of yours about something related to The Walking Dead on Facebook. I don't watch that show. I know it's a huge show and a lot of fans from that show, but tell us about that. This is kind of cool.
Well, I want to first off say that I posted that in the wee early morning of April 1st.
Oh, you rat.
Which is a notorious day, April Fool's Day. You're not a fool by any means, but it's my best Facebook April Fool's joke I've ever had, because I'm a connected guy, and that seems very plausible. I knew the right things to say, and some people in the media that I'm friends with are like, wow, really, that was great. And I'm like, yeah, that's definitely an April Fool's joke, but you almost had me. So,
what did you say? Go ahead and so everybody that's listening knows what you're talking about.
Yeah,
what I said was I went to one of those horror conventions, not a horror convention, where they have people from old movies and TV shows, and you get pictures, and I help work and volunteer at it. What I said was I was taking selfies with people from The Walking Dead, and I said people were, tweeting them all over, and they kept getting shared, and then a casting agent, got a hold of me in a direct message, and they wanted me to come down. I have a unique body type to do a couple episodes of The Walking Dead in the summer. And people were going crazy on my wall. And it was, I tried to do some pranks every now and again, especially on April Fool's, and that one went crazy. And I felt really bad. And my status tonight was talking about the three-day weekend I have and apologizing for an amazing April Fool's Day joke. My sister and dad even shared it. And then I sent my sister a message, and all it said was 4-1 sucker. And then she's unshared the share, but my dad said, I knew it all along that you're just sitting around. And he kept the share on his wall. That was a fun prank for sure.
Well,
that made it even look more real, huh?
Yeah. No, it went over my head. I forgot that what the date was, but there is another post that was related to April Fool's Day when a former Big Brother, a friend of the show, Adam Pock, posted something about that they were turning into vegetarians. And
I saw that.
And the following day, this is very cool. The following day, he said, this is not April Fool's joke, but I would like to announce that Farrah is expecting a baby coming October of this year. So congratulations to Adam and Farrah.
Absolutely.
I'm so thrilled for them.
I met Adam waiting to go to the Survivor viewing party in New York at the after party, and I met him outside, and I was like, dude, you're from Big Brother. Nice to meet you. And he's like, hey, Big Mike, nice to meet you. And I'm like, dang, he knew who I was. And we weren't even Facebook friends yet, I don't think so. Yeah, he's great, and I wish him the best of luck with he and his wife and hope the baby's healthy. And
they're going to be such great parents.
He's a great bundle of energy.
They are so cool. Yeah. I can just see now they're going to get bacon baby blankets. And
they're going to bring home the bacon. So
there you go.
They're going to teach the baby, this little piggy went to market, this little piggy stayed home.
My mom was a vegetarian, so when she said that, I think the roast beef pig was always like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, which was weird because in my household we didn't eat peanut butter and jelly much because a babysitter messed up my breakfast, and the note said peanut butter or Cheese Whiz, and my dumb babysitter gave me both, and now I like it better than peanut butter and jellies, peanut butter and cheese, which is crazy, but...
Wow.
Not definitely not anything Survivor related, but it's Big Mike related, so that's all part of the show.
That's right.
There you go.
If anyone dialed in, yeah, I was curious because I wasn't sure when the show started back in the Bubba days. I didn't know if it was a different time slot or if I needed to tell them.
Same time, same place.
I'll shoot him a message to see if he remembered to get up on the program. He said he was still good to go, so I hope he's good. But what an exciting episode leading into an anticipated merge. I guess we opened up with the episode with the return back to camp at Escameca. And, wow, the tension there between Rodney and Mike was very crazy.
It was. Definitely. Mike took Rodney for a walk and tried to explain, you know, what just took place at Tribal Council, but Rodney was pissed. He wasn't buying into, you know, much of it. He tried to act like he was, but he was just mad.
Yeah, he's trying to make it seem like, oh yeah, I was just stringing Joaquin along, and they were the biggest bros of any. They were tighter than Tyler and Carolyn or Jen and Haley, and it was so quick that they built that up that fast.
I was so glad to see, you know, I don't know. Things kind of happen as they did. Kelly being the only blue collar on that tribe, you know, they threw the immunity challenge to save her. And it just seemed like the poor girl had the worst position in the world unless they merged, and the only thing that was going to save her was the merge, and I was so glad to see that, you know, there's the merge, you know, because she was just hung out to dry on that, being the only blue collar on that tribe.
For sure. I thought they would be totally, I thought that, you know, they had acclimated and gotten in, but I'm pretty, if they'd gone to tribal, I'm not sure. I think they might have banded together and Shireen was working it hardcore if there hadn't been the merge. And I think, but Kelly did herself in big time though when they did come together and she went right to Mike and they could see it. She just didn't play it very well. Other pairs were, you know, I think Jen and Haley are more blatant than any pair, but, you know, Mike and Kelly just did not try to hide anything at all.
And how well did Joe come out? He really flew under the radar. He was a goner until the bromance really blossomed between Rodney and Joaquin.
Oh, yeah, that saves Joe. And then Joe, later on we'll talk more about it, but, you know, Joe's going to be a huge physical threat.
Right.
And in these challenges, and he gets through there because they want to break up Rodney and Joaquin, but then they're letting in, keeping somebody like Joe around, which is just crazy. And Rodney made a couple major sports references, but he was just going to town today with sports references and movie references, and he used the word putrid, which I was like, I didn't think Rodney knew what the word putrid was, but I thought we were Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan, and I ended up being Luke Longley, and for somebody that my favorite time watching the NBA was in the 90s as a kid, and that's when the Bulls were crushing people. I knew exactly what he was talking about, and that's pretty much what Mike did to him. He was the Luke Longley, who was a starter, which I think the reference would have been even better if he would have pulled out some even more obscure Bulls player. But did you guys pick up on that? I think you've talked hockey before, but I don't know how basketball and football, but I know if basketball was big in any of your lives.
I think in my notes I wrote down when he said he was, I'll have to get to it, but he said something about how he was, I think it was a baseball player. Oh, no, he was Tom Brady. That's who he said he was. And
you
fourth
heard
quarter.
That too.
Yeah. That's the one reference that I caught more than any, which is a football player,
big,
right?
He's Boston, the New England Patriots quarterback for the past, 12, 13 years. He's got 4 Super Bowl rings, great player. And I don't know if Rodney's quite up to Tom Brady. He might be right now the way he's playing. He's playing more like old Drew Bledsoe, maybe. Or I'm just trying to think the guy that played in the '80s 5 Super Bowl when the Bears killed him. Maybe he's playing more like that guy. Calling him out, and he was trying to make up. He wanted to unite back with Mike, and he used the term "we need some makeup sex," and I was just, as Mike being celibate for 8 years, I found that I don't think if he decides to start back up again, I don't know if Rodney's what he's looking for.
No,
I'm surprised. I'm surprised I missed the Luke Longley mention, because we actually, the Timberwolves were actually, we're the ones that drafted Luke Longley. He played on the Timberwolves for about 5-6 seasons before he went to Chicago. 4 seasons, I guess it was. But I missed that. Didn't hear him.
Yeah, he was saying he thought, he was making a reference that he thought we were in a bromance and, you know, we were Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan, and then he whipped out that, but now I feel like Luke Longley. And I didn't know Luke Longley's past being a Timberwolf, so.
Yeah, we drafted him first round.
And they just let him go, and then the Bulls picked him up right before the big run in 96, or?
Let's see. Yeah, we drafted him in 90, for the 91-92 season, and he started with the Bulls in the 93-94 season, I guess it was. Midway through that season, he was traded. I don't remember why he was traded or who we got for him or anything like that off the top of my head. But anyway, no, I missed that that comment, that reference. But, no, I mean, Mike and Rodney, you know, definitely both want to be the chief, you know, the head person. And
too many chiefs and not enough Indians.
That's right, exactly.
Well, at the beginning of the show, once they were at Gameca and they showed Mike and Rodney take their little walk and have their little talk, and then they switched over to the Nagarote tribe, and they went to get tree mail. And the tree mail read, come with your tribe and your tribe pride. Prepare to outwit and outplay their strength in numbers. So lean on your friends and you will be eating today. So that was the tree mail. And the two tribes walk in, but no Jeff, and they knew it was the merge. The note tells them to discard their buffs,
yep,
and take a new one and enjoy their feast, and then go to the new home of the old, home, which is the old Eskimeca beach. And they had wine and rum and juices and lots of food.
Oh, that food looked so good, knowing how hungry they could be. But it seems like recent years they tell them where to go, where it seemed earlier seasons they had a choice of where they wanted to go. Obviously, what they did to them this year
makes
sense. But doesn't it seem, Mike, like they basically tell them where to go more often nowadays than they used to?
Yeah, now they tell them more water. It's a random pick. I'm trying to think. I mean, I can't tear through the seasons like on some things, but I know in Borneo they had the famous beach summit where Jenna and Sean came together and on the beds on the sand spit, and they were like, well, they just had to go back to Tagi. And then in Australia, I think production just moved the camp somewhere else, and that's when they put the camp in the creek bed. And Africa, they got the pick. And then I try to remember Marquesas. I think they might have gotten the pick there. And the funny thing about Thailand was when they had the fake merge, and just like you all be living on the same beach, and then there was the merge that didn't happen until there were 8 players. But I'd have to run some numbers because I actually ran some stats on something else later for the individual immunity challenge. Some people in POS were able to give me some data there. But I'm not really sure. I'd have to go back and research the merge history.
The other question I had is I don't recall that often seeing purple-colored buffs. Is that something you would recall?
Purple is one of the lesser used colors. The least is the brown because it went on Koror, I think, once. But, yeah, the most popular are red, blue, yellow, and green, and then maybe orange. Black's usually a really popular merge buff color. But, yeah, purple's a seldom used buff. I don't have the exact numbers, but I'd say it's, you know, maybe around six or seven purple buffs.
Have you collected your own buffs over the years? How many do you have, if you have been?
I got into the buff scene late. I was actually at a charity event where Chris and Sandra were at, and I bought a Winta buff, the Merge Tribe from Vanuatu, and those two signed it, and that was my first buff. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'll go try to get the buffs, and then, you know, thousands of dollars later, I now have every buff except for the new ones for the season and the Koyo or the the blue tribe from last season. And I even have the rarest buff I have. I dropped $600 on a Toggy buff. It's the rarest buff ever, and it was actually a friend of mine got it from somebody at CBS. And he let me buy that for that price. And it's now been signed by...
$600 on a buff. Wow.
Yeah, but now that buff's been signed by Richard Hatch, Kelly Wigglesworth, Rudy, Sue, and Sonya from season one. And I think I've had Probe sign it. I can't remember. I'd have to look at it. But that's pretty epic.
Is that in a frame, yeah, so I hope? Cool.
What?
Is that in a frame, I hope?
It's in a prominent place. I only have one buff that's framed. It's an all-star buff signed by the whole cast. But, yeah. So buffs are cool. They're hard to sign. If you're a fan looking for something to get signed, get the old Survivor bandanas or pictures. Buffs are really hard for the cast to sign. So I try to get them signed in the finale, but it's usually tough. I'd rather get the picture signed. But I have every buff except for a couple.
Wow.
That is so cool.
That's incredible, Mike.
Anyway,
it's a popular thing because it's something they wear on the show, so it's an easy thing versus, you know, a shot glass or something. They're on every season.
Right.
So... back to your notes there, Cherry, pick up. I just was curious about
I wrote
about
down that.
That
Hallie said she felt like she was a Greek goddess. She says, give me the grapes.
Yep.
I'm in heaven. I
that
love
was
that.
Good.
I wish Shireen would have made a reference to.
Pardon me?
Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
Caroline talked about Tyler and how he's the only person who knows that she has an immunity idol. But it's clear that any two people who are shown to have a strong bond will be split up, so they will not let that happen. She said, bring it on, baby. So they are quite attuned to not letting others know that they are together, that they have any bond whatsoever. Smart play, you know. That's great thinking, great gameplay there. Don't let anybody know that you're together, you know. And you won't get the same thing that just happened to Joaquin and Rodney. So she's paying attention at least. You know, she's playing the game well. I have to give her that much. Merge Tribe Day 17, they show a vulture when they come back from commercial. And they arrive back at the camp, and everything at the camp is gone. They have to start all over. And Kelly is so happy to be back with Mike and her blue-collar tribe. And Jen was the first one to see that Kelly had defected back to her old tribe.
Yep. She's like, we don't have Kelly. She knew it.
Yep.
She knew what was going on, and that's when she was gung-ho to, you know, unite the no-collars and the white-collars, which is a weird combination because I don't know what makes more sense, but it is kind of strange to think about the corporate, you know, suit and tie, formal wear people, and then the loosey-goosey no-collar people. It's just a weird connection they tried to make. It's interesting. I don't know if I would have seen that coming. I don't know what I thought would happen, but I just found it strange.
No, I did too, except for the fact that at this point, they're all playing the game and looking at numbers.
Yep.
Yeah. Rodney goes to Willie, Caroline, and Kelly and tells them he's going to play like he's still blue collar, but they are now final four all the way.
I didn't know where that came from because he had been in a tribe with Kelly, but where did he get talking to Carolyn and Will for? I mean, Carolyn's from the same part of the country, but Will is over in California. How did he just – I want to know how he just came up with that combination.
I don't know how he must have like laid awake all night or something and pulled two people out of his head. And I don't know.
Out of somewhere. I don't know what he pulled. He pulled it out somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere very private, I'm sure. Caroline says that she and Tyler will decide which way they want to go because Tyler is telling her that she may want to go with a blue-collar tribe and not against them.
Mm-hmm.
Day 18, Dan gets stung by a jellyfish.
That's big. One quick thing before we get into Dan's jellyfish bite, which is a great scene. There was something back on the beach where Haley asks she asked Joe if Rodney is smart. And old Joe gives a deadpan look right at her and implies that, you know, our man Luke Longley, a.k.a. Rodney, a.k.a. Watson Rob's bastard child, might not be the sharpest thing in the thing on the tool. He's not a knife. He's not an ice pick. He's not a chainsaw. I don't know. He might be a dull machete. I'm not sure.
I don't even think he's a butter knife.
I'm not sure what utensil he is, but not one that I'd be worried about. I don't know. I'm trying to think the least worrisome utensil. Maybe that thing that you get spaghetti out of in the pot, that weird, not the tongs, but the... With a little, it's got the things that stick up, but it's plastic. Yeah. That's maybe him. I don't know.
There you go.
Yeah. The other thing, I don't know the proper time to bring it up, but I was questioning last week. I was interested to see how Tyler would end up, and I had a sense. I don't know why, but I had a sense that he was going to be prominent, even though we didn't see much of him last week, and.
Yeah,
he certainly did, become more prominent in the game. What we saw on this last episode, don't you think?
I definitely think so. And people made a joke on POS. Somebody that they were calling him Purple Tyler, which is we just had Purple Kelly on last week. You know, this is the, you know, she was hardly around until the merge. So then Tyler, you know, is emerging outward. So. I found it funny they called him Purple Tyler. And then the merge is purple. So
now we're down to day 18. And after Dan has his jellyfish sting, they decide to name the tribe.
Oh, God.
America.
That whole, I'm glad they gave a lot of time to that segment and the naming of the tribe, because that was hilarious. But did you guys pick up on Dan? We saw when Dan was, somebody tried to give him advice on how to apologize to women, and now somebody
mm-hmm.
tried to give him advice on how to treat jellyfish, and he basically doesn't care what anybody says, does he?
Well, I thought he actually listened to him. I thought he was actually listening to that. Did he not?
But initially he didn't. He kept saying, you know, to who is it, Jen? No, I'm good. I know what to do. And then he got back to camp, and that's when he said he needed hot water. But he just rejects advice a lot of times.
But he didn't put his foot in the hot water. He poured hot water over his foot. I mean, that's not going to last but 2 seconds. You know? You put your foot in the hot water, Dan. You don't just pour the hot water over your foot.
Maybe some of them on Max did, and he was the other bearded super fan, and he wasn't going to stick his big old foot in the food pot. Maybe somehow he... Max sent him a message from Ponderosa, like, don't put your foot in the pot, bro. Just dump the water on it.
He probably didn't have that big old nasty
planter's wart either. Well, I think Dan might have something nasty on his foot, too. We haven't seen his feet much, but I don't know if his feet are the most... I'm thinking of Big Tom's
feet inspections.
Big Tom's big old stinky feet. It may be something similar to that with Dan. I don't know. Maybe he's got beautiful feet that smell great, but I doubt it.
I know when they said, do you want me to pee on it? He said, I already did. I was like,
I'm like, why didn't we not see this on the show? If anyone pees on anybody or anything, they got to show it. They showed John Carroll begging for people to pee on him. They showed Blake and Bobby John and the alliance where they were peeing together.
How did the cameraman miss Jonas Dan peeing on his own foot then? How did we miss that?
Dan was off by himself, and they might be thought he was taking another aqua dump, and he wasn't strategizing with anybody, so he may have gotten away from the group. And that's a Clay Jordan term from Thailand. But maybe that's what happened, and he wasn't there, and they didn't have any footage there. That's the only reason I can think of, but why you wouldn't. I would swear the CBS would have wanted that on camera, so I don't know.
I know. Yeah. I know.
Somebody dropped something on that.
Well, I have to repeat Sharon's quote after they named the tribe America.
Yep.
Sharon says, even Sarah Palin and all kinds of crazy crap that comes out of her mouth, but I've never heard her call our country America. I'm horrified.
Big Mike, would you agree with, I forget who said that the worst ever tribe name in Survivor history. Can you think of a worse name?
I never liked No Bag on Gabon. I thought it was just like, come on. I'm thinking that's probably one of my least favorite. And sometimes when they just cram tribe names together, that's kind of crazy. I do like when Malcolm tricked everyone on here.
I
Fans
love
Favorite
that
2
one.
And called it Anil Adim, which was just his mom's name. That was pretty cool. I like Soliantu just because I'm not a huge Boston Rob fan, but he pulled that thing out of his butt and was like, yeah, it's a sacred allegiance to the sun. And it was just totally made up.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really have a worse. I think it's just cheap and cheesy. I love the United States of America. I'm very patriotic, but you know, I'm not one of those people that thinks you need to have a flag pin on your coat all the time or, you know, all that stuff. So I thought it was strange, but I didn't think it was that bad. And I, when they said that, well, it's white, red, it's red, white, and blue, and it's the, you know, the original tribes, and I was like, well, that's pretty cool. Even though they gave the Maasai tribe a yellow buff, they could have given them white buffs. But I thought it was all right and interesting, and the flag looked really cool. I didn't like the name, but those handprints are nice, and the American flag.
Somebody on that tribe must be pretty artistic.
I think it might have been Joe that was leading that up, from what I can gather from watching it twice. It looked like Joe maybe was guiding them along to that. But Shireen, yeah, she was bagging it and just saying it was the worst tribe name ever. I don't really like lists like that, but I'm just trying to think of merged tribe names. I'm going to run through them in my head. It might be the worst. Some of those are just weird, like Solarian and Gitanos, and I don't know. There's probably been worse.
We've got a caller up here. That I think wants to join us.
No, it's a friend.
I think it might be our guest, maybe. I was texting and messaging
no.
on Facebook.
No, I know Bubba.
This isn't our guest.
I know his phone number.
Okay.
We've got Tony. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Cherry.
How are you, sweetie?
I'm good. How about everybody else?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great.
Was hoping that our guest was going to come on,
He's dealing with some personal issue. He texted me. There's something going on. He is on his phone. So, you know, we'll hang tight, and as soon as possible, hopefully he'll get on here. I haven't never done that before. When I'm on a call, I was, you know, texting him. I was messaging him on Facebook, and yeah. I think he's gonna try to get back in soon.
He's okay. A very busy guy. I do know that. So I'm not.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I'm not surprised. I know he's a really, really busy guy. So, we'll just keep going, and hopefully he can call in soon. So,
Tony, what was your take on the merge episode? We've kind of gotten about halfway through it. I didn't know how your reaction was for the first half.
My first thought that comes to my mind right now, who the hell keeps put Mike in charge of everything? Doesn't it seem like he's always...
The players do, I think.
You know, and then, you know, Mike and Dan remind me so much of, you know, there's always those two boys in the classroom who are the class clowns, and you're always having to tell them to sit still and shut the hell up.
Yeah, that would be them.
Tony, you're not the president of the Mike Holloway and Dan Foley fan clubs, are you? Because it doesn't seem like you're too keen on those two guys, so you didn't like their leadership. What about the other 10 people out there come merge? Give us your – do you have a power ranking? You've seen what happened this episode, but going into the merge, who's your top 10? We'll take Dan and Mike and put them at, like, 11 and 12, I assume. So where are the other 1 through 10, and who are they?
I'm not trashing their gameplay or anything. I mean
– Oh, yeah, I'm not saying that, but they just don't seem like they're you're rooting for them necessarily.
Who I'm rooting for right now is probably Jen.
Okay.
I want to say Haley, but Haley has not really done anything to. I mean, she's a good social player, but it's not. She hasn't really had any challenges to really play a challenging social game.
Mm-hmm.
Like something easy to her. But Jen is just, she's playing hard. You know,
so Jen's your one. Would Haley be like 2, 3, or if we're going to quantify this with a number deal?
I would say Jen number one, Joe number two, Haley probably number three.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Sharon's
up there.
Yeah, Sharon has moved up to number four for me. I like
Sharon since the beginning. I like the quirkiness, the super fandom, Sharon's somebody that I'm a fan of. I'll go back and check the first podcast. I don't know where I put her. I thought she might have been a maybe or a like. I think she's been a like, though, for me from the beginning.
Now, kind of like with Matt, now that I get her, I understand her, I like a lot. I'm a fan. I like her a lot more.
Were you expecting her to be the first one to volunteer to pee on Dan? Because she was all excited to pee on somebody.
I don't know. Because
that's a fan of the game. You know, there's been different things. They've drank cow's blood. They've jumped off cliffs. People have peed on each other. I wonder if it's Shireen in her final casting talking to the CBS brass, if she was like, I'd really be excited if somebody got stung by a stingray and I got to pee on them. I don't know.
Yeah.
But then Dan wasn't even sure, positive, whether it was a jellyfish or a stingray. He actually admitted that when he walked up on the shore. So
I think he's a big enough fan here to just pee on himself, or maybe he made it all up just so he could pee on himself. People could say they want to pee on him. People get done boiling water on him. Dan just, he likes to be the center of attention, so. But it looked pretty brutal. I think something did bite him, but what it was, we'll never know. Maybe it was Joaquin. I'm not sure. Joaquin snuck out of Ponderosa and went and bit Dan because he was mad about the previous vote.
But, yeah, I just thought it was kind of weird that they showed that and then all of a sudden you don't hear about it ever again. It was like, I wonder what their point was of showing that scene of him getting stung. I was thinking, uh-oh. I didn't hear about a rumor of a medevac this season.
Here's what, with you saying that, I think I know what the editors are trying to show. They were going to try to show that Shireen's a little wacky, but she's around, but that Dan's kind of being an idiot and getting injured, but Jen's the one that was smart and knew, hey, you need to put boiling water on that. Don't pee on it. I'm a lifeguard, and she surfs, so she knew that. So I think they were trying to show the rise of Jen and the decline of one of the blue collars. And I think it was real subtle, and we wouldn't know that. So, I mean, I just sat here and rewatched the show, and I'm watching it right now while we're doing this podcast. So
yeah. that's very interesting that you bring that up. I didn't pick up on that, but I see that now.
Yeah, that's
and
that's
Shireen's willingness to pee maybe shows that she was willing to jump in with the no collars, but maybe she'll change her mind. Because then Dan's like, the one time that somebody said to do something, then he's like, she's like, you want me to pee on it? And Dan's like, no, I'm going to put water on it because that's what you're really supposed to do. Like, he knew that. Like, he just found out to do that.
Right.
You know what they were all thinking? They were all thinking, Shireen, leave your pants on.
Yeah, they were all Tyler was freaking out. All that. But the trick there was he didn't say, oh, I already peed on it and make an idiot of himself again. He was like, oh, no, I'm going to put boiling water on it. So Dan is growing and maturing.
Well, now we're at the point where...
What was that?
I was going to ask Tony, what is his perspective on America? The tribe name America.
The tribe name.
I don't like it. Here's why. I'm probably going to sound like a America hating liberal, which it's not true. I do not hate America. But this dumbing down of America is irritating. You know, it's diminishing. And I love that they showed, what Shireen had to say about it, you know. And I worried, you know, when they showed that, though, I was thinking, oh, God, she's going to be, I can hear it now, she's going to be labeled as a American-hating terrorist. So I was kind of, you know, hoping she wouldn't get that kind of backlash. But the first
I know when you bring Sarah Palin's name into it and
people freak out.
Yep.
Exactly. But it's so fitting. It's so funny. The very first thing that I thought about when Mike said the name of the tribe again, who the hell put him in charge? The first thing I thought about was the Team America song. You know, the America, fuck yeah. Immediately that's what I thought about, and it's like let's just keep perpetuating the stereotype.
And that was an intentionally hyping up. That was right after 2 or 3 years after 9/11, and just that hyped up freedom fries, and I'm like, hey, French fries are from Belgium, so. Calling
exactly.
them freedom fries is just crazy. No, I don't think there was freedom toast.
Right.
That I'm aware of. So it was was interesting for sure. And, you know, I'm not, I don't know. I think if you're going to name it America, name it Amerigo. That sounds more, you know, tropical. And that's the Amerigo Vespucci was the map maker that stuck in name America that we even know what America is all about.
Right. Well, I think it would have been, I would have loved it if they just named it America. I mean, what?
Yeah.
Right.
What perfect?
We've got another caller, and it's not our guest.
Okay.
Tony, stay on with us.
Sure.
But I'm going to bring this guy up too, and we can find out what his opinions are. We've got Mr. Chad on here with us as well. Hi, Chad. How are you tonight?
Hey, I just got home from work. Sorry for calling in so late. I actually hated that episode.
Oh, you hated this last episode we just had?
The merge episode, yes.
What did you hate?
I hated seeing Kelly voted off.
So you're a blue-collar enthusiast, so Kelly going wasn't cool. So we asked Tony, after this episode, you don't have to rattle through all top 10, but who's your top 5 people now that, you know, Kelly's gone? Either you like them or you think they'll do well, Chad. Give us your top 5.
Will be Joe.
Jared 1. Oh, Jared 2.
Mike.
Mike's 3.
Let's see. That was my top 3. I have to think of 2 other people. Okay. Let's see. Carolyn, because she's got the idol. She's in a good spot.
Yep. Only caller knows. Okay.
And she's playing smart.
And then I have to say Will, because he survived this long, so.
Yeah, Will's a real interesting guy, especially with this vote. We haven't really gotten to the immunity challenge yet or the vote, but old number 4 in a 4-person alliance on No Collar, who's been saved twice by the people from No Collar. The merge happens, and Will didn't want to be living on a prayer anymore. He wanted to be in the driver's seat. I don't know another Bon Jovi song. Sorry, I wish I did. Make a joke. But he wanted to, you know, put his fate in his own hands. I need to give me some Bon Jovi songs, and I'll make some jokes. I don't know.
But one of my friends on my Facebook, who I went to high school, he brought up a really good point because we kind of debated because I made a status saying I hated who got voted off tonight. And he's like, and then we got into a debate about Will, and I was like, well, I hate his gameplay. I wish he would have left. He's like, no, they keep him around because he's the perfect goat because he's, you know, and I'm like, huh.
The goat factor. It's becoming very popular now. In the old days of the show, somebody that was a kind of a goat kind of person, they'd be going before the merge, and now they want the threats out so that you can have all your goats straight to the end and hopefully you win. But yeah, I think Will's, I don't know what animal Will is. I don't think he's the biggest goat right now, but he may be becoming a goat.
Yeah. And me, I being a Survivor fan that wants, I hate that personally, but, you know.
Like it's kind of cheating.
Exactly. Because I'm like a competitive type of person. Mm-hmm. And it just, I'm just like, oh my God.
Were you surprised that Dan had an encounter with some animal? I hope it wasn't a goat, and he had a big thing on his foot. Were you surprised we didn't see him pee on his own foot?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, he's kind of out there. I think he's funny, and I'm also rooting for him because he's blue collar. Sorry. But, I wouldn't pee on my own foot. That's just gross.
And if it doesn't even relieve the pain, you're just peeing on your foot. I'll speak for myself and the males in here. I don't recall ever peeing on my foot or any other person's foot. So,
yeah,
it's gonna be hard to do.
That's good to know.
I will say now for the record, if I ever run for political office, I have never peed on a foot.
Have you ever inhaled? No, I'm just...
I actually never have either, so... So I'm drug-free. My drug is Survivor, and it's... God, is it good.
That's awesome,
Mike.
It can be an upper or a downer. Survivor, yeah. But let's talk now about the individual immunity. It's an old favorite there. Hang on a pole as long as you can challenge. It's probably got a more official name on Wikipedia, but that's what I'm going to call it. Do you guys think you would be good at this challenge? Because I think I'd be like Dan and Will out quick.
I would do good. I would do great. I would do great because I'm not trying to boast, but I used to be a big-time runner, and I could hang on. And, you know, I used to do marathons and stuff like that.
I've seen your accolades. I've seen some of your YouTubes where you went back to school and they talked to you just went back recently.
Yeah, the Hall of Fame thing, yeah.
Yeah. I've seen your abilities.
But that challenge, in my opinion, it's not all physical. Like, I think, I believe it's more 60% mental than it's physical.
Well, what if you were Jen and got stung in a sensitive area?
That was one of the best exchanges I've ever seen in a challenge. It's Jen goes, ow, I was stung by something. Jeff Probst is like, where? And Jen's like, where my hand is, Jeff. And that was in the crotch area. And then Jeff's like, are you crying or laughing? And Jeff's like, both. So Jen gets stung by a bee or a wasp.
I just realized something. When you asked me about my top five, I completely forgot about Jen. So she's up there, and I have to replace her with Will.
We got to do the whole show again now, Chad. You can't just throw stuff like that into the end of it. No, that's fine. We'll definitely adjust. Those of you keeping track at home, Jen's now been her spot's changed. So we'll change that up for Mr. Kincaid.
What really cracked me up was afterwards, Jeff Probst is going, Jen's hanging on after being stung in the sensitive area. Hanging tight.
Let's talk as a panel here. Has anyone here been stung in your sensitive area by an insect or an arachnid? You can go first.
No.
As many times as I have, you know, done things in many places, including woods, I have not been stung.
Paul, is your sensitive area safe?
this is so odd. I can only think of self-inflicted zipper movements.
Oh, that's dicey. That's like the chainsaw versus the knife. Okay.
High five.
Sherry, are you safe for this question, or what's your history?
I'm pleading fifth.
You plead the fifth? Very American thing to do, for sure. The Constitution would be proud, and so would Haley. And I think I'm all right. I've had recluse bites, but never in my sensitive area. But the history of this, Probst has thrown out the history, and then luckily some people on POS, you know, Jeff just said three women and three men. You guys want to exhibit your skill sets? Anyone know some past winners of this challenge?
Parvati.
Actually, according to the statisticians on POS, it was not poverty. People think she won this one.
Really?
She won Just Attentions and Peanut Butter and Chocolate. I know that.
Yeah. They did that. There's one two-time winner that's done it. One of the guys won twice, and then there's one other guy to win, and there's three ladies before this winner won. So let me just
did
let
Tina
you
win?
Know. Tina came close. It was Laura Moret in Blood vs. Water.
Okay.
Ozzy won in Cook Islands and South Pacific.
Okay.
Heroes versus Villains, it was Danielle that won this. I think Parvati might have done well, but I think she won the arm over the head challenge. Token Sheens, Tyson. Tyson,
yeah,
6'5" and 100 pounds. And then from the season of our guest, they did this first in Vanuatu. Anyone now that you know it's Vanuatu want to take a crack? It's a lady from Vanuatu that won this challenge.
Oh.
Eliza.
I heard Eliza. Was there something else I heard, or was it just Eliza?
I said Eliza, yeah.
It was actually Twyla Tanner.
Twyla?
Really?
According
wow.
to POS, which I sometimes it's not the best place to go to your... It's good for Survivor humor. I don't know about always the truth, but
yeah.
It was Twyla.
Wow. Yeah. How interesting.
So I'm glad those guys did that research. And now it's 4-3. We tear through. Dan and Will go out. Tyler goes out. Sierra, Shireen, Kelly, Mike, then Rodney, then Haley. And then one of the most interesting things in a challenge like that I think I've ever seen, Mark Burnett
the
and his rain machine come out, and it starts pouring.
Yes, the rain machine. Man, it starts pouring. I mean,
yeah.
Hard pouring.
Crazy. Yeah. But three people are still in the mix. We've got Jen, Joe, and Caroline.
Jen, Joe, and Caroline.
Yeah.
Did you guys expect them to be the last three in a challenge like that?
No.
I thought Joe would be there for sure, but...
Yeah.
And I like that Caroline's got the nickname Mama C now. They're calling
her
Mama C.
I don't know where that came from, yeah.
I wasn't surprised that Caroline stayed up there. I really wasn't. I see her as, you know, having that mental, you know, toughness. And that really didn't surprise me. Good on her.
For the oldest woman there, she's really proving herself, you know, to, you know, have the wherewithal to be there and deserve to be there, you know.
Yep.
A lot of times the oldest woman gets the boot real quick, and they did try to get her out early. You know, early on in the season, they tried to get her out. And she made it, you know, through. And now she's proving herself to deserve to be there. And I'm really glad to see it.
I think she could go far. She reminds me a little and vaguely like one of our early guests this season, Jane, pulling out.
Yes.
Jane won two or three immunities. And I think Caroline, depending on the challenge, she's got a pretty good shot.
Oh, absolutely. Kind of reminds me of Dawn.
Yeah, Dawn, too. Yeah. Good analogy there. Yeah.
So before the
challenge, Mike went up to Rodney and was asking, talking to him about getting Joe out. And Rodney tells Mike, "Oh, yeah, blue collar, ride or die, baby." And this is where he made that mention about Tom Brady. He did a cameo.
Okay.
And in this cameo, this is his words, because I wrote them down exactly. I kept stopping and starting and wrote it down verbatim. This is Rodney. He says, "I'm putting on my hustle pants right now. I'm going to let my quarterback it. When the game matters, I'm going to come in full-fledged Tom Brady, fourth quarter. I'm about to make this one epic. Then I'm going to cut his head off."
What a quote machine.
I was like, okay, you go, Rodney. You cut his head off, Tom Brady. Fourth quarter, Tom Brady.
We'll see. Yeah, Mike's, after that challenge, Mike's trying to get, you know, Rodney to go with him, and Rodney's so mad because now they want to, they were wanting the gun for the Golden Boy, but then Joe wins it and they can't. I like how Mike's just so much bravado, like, well, we all need to, we know what we're all going to do now. We're all going to go strategize. So everybody go strategize. Thank you for telling us to do that.
Yeah. Do you guys think that Immunity Idol, the individual one, do you think that that compass is operational? Did you notice that?
The what?
Oh,
yeah.
The compass.
It might be. I'm not sure. I'm trying to, the pictures I've seen, I can't really tell if it is operational or not.
It looked
I'm
like it.
I'm not sure.
It looked like the needle was moving.
Yeah, it did. That's one
yeah.
of the coolest immunity necklaces I've seen in a while.
I love it. I love the immunity idols this season. They're raw and you know, I really enjoyed this season.
Yeah, I agree. The early immunity team tribe idols when they would give out two of them, they actually they fit into each other. Did you
right.
know
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
No, good prop maker, whoever give props to him.
Don't they go there and like have like a local like somebody there locally that's an artist create those? Yeah.
They usually hire some local people for the art department to help the usually the dream team helps with the challenge. They test challenges, but they also, from my friends that have worked on it, they do a lot in the art department too. They're the ones that are usually painting stuff and all that. So it's a very well-run department. They try to tie in the local theme if they can, and I think they did a really good job.
Yeah.
Right, because they have certain idols and you know, different things that are native to their country that they can, you know, tie in, like with the immunity idol this time where they had the two that fit together. That looked like something that maybe a native sort of thought up and put together. And might have been, you know, something that was native to their country or something. And to me, I think that's like priceless. I think if those go on auction or something, those ought to bring in a lot of money because the things that they involve the natives with and have so many hands involved in, those are the real treasures that come out of Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. For sure.
What
yeah, there's
you guys
some amazing
think about
props.
About the encounter between Mike and Tyler.
It was fun watching Tyler with such a savvy game player he is with. You know, Mike's like, I'd really like to work with you. And then Mike and Tyler's like, well, you know, sweeten it up. You know, you got to make it really sweet. Why would I want to work with you? So I don't know what we didn't see, but whatever he said, they did link up together. The white and blue actually got together versus the no collars. For the most part, there were some defections out there. Notably, two people switched. Shireen and Will decided to go the other way than their original tribes.
Well, Will took on the test that Mike and Rodney decided to see if he would vote for Haley. So,
yeah,
right.
So they
I was
they lost
so
on the idol play and they make
right.
yeah. What did you say?
I was so glad to see Jen actually be smart and not sit there with an idol in her pocket.
Yep.
You got it. Might as well play it.
Yeah, it was a perfect time to play it.
It was, and she must have gotten a sense from somebody. We never really get to see those edits that her name was going to be put up there. But, boy, when the first name, when Will's vote came up, Haley, that you could see the fear of God in both those girls, Jen and Haley, at the time, thinking, oh, my God, it's not Jen, it's going to be Haley.
Yep. I was surprised there wasn't a split vote at that point.
Yeah.
Well, and here we go again. Nobody, and Jen never told anybody about her idol until, you know, the conversation before Tribal, and she ended up telling Haley, and Carolyn only told Tyler, so really nobody had heard anything. It's because they kept it quiet.
Yep.
Speaking of idols, where's the blue collar idol? Is that going to come into play?
That was on the promo after the vote the next time on Survivor. There's a mad dash to find that idol, which is surprising that I guess the blue collars are too busy getting firewood all 15 days and then decide to go get the idol.
Wait.
What did you think about them saying? Okay, I got to think. Caroline said a line will be drawn in the sand tonight with an ice pick. And when Dan was questioned by Jeff, he said tonight's vote, he thinks tonight's vote will be not drawn in the line by an ice pick, but rather with a chainsaw. Yeah.
That was a great line.
Which is funny because the night before, Dan and I had a discussion on Facebook about horror movies and particularly Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
No kidding.
Yeah.
There's never been a Texas Ice Pick Massacre, so.
No.
Those
ice pick killer I know of is in Basic Instinct. I don't even know what. That's the only time I know ice pick really doing much.
Yeah.
I love those references, but for me, the absolute highlight of Tribal was when Will basically said, hell, I don't know who's getting voted off. I think it was Will that said this. I think it might be you, Jeff. I hope you have an idea.
Yeah.
And Jeff was laughing, and he really appreciated that.
Yeah.
That was really good. That was a highlight.
Yeah,
that was great. When she played her idol, you could see Mike shaking his head. And to see her sit there and nullify 7 votes,
that
rocked.
Yeah.
God, if she would have had that idol in her pocket and sat there and gotten 7 votes and went home with that idol in her pocket, I think I would have cried.
She
I really didn't want to see Kelly go home.
It couldn't be no worse than having 2 idols in your pocket and getting voted off.
Well,
that
yeah.
That would be worse.
That's true, too.
Well, I wish I would have played the idol, though, and gotten rid of somebody like Rodney. Rodney is fun TV, but, you know, I wish it would have been somebody else than Kelly. I didn't really have any real beef with Kelly, and it sucks she appears to be the last one to not make jury.
No, I understand your sentiment about this episode, Chad, because I anytime somebody that I like gets voted off and it doesn't seem justified, and I really was rooting for her, and so it was sad.
Yeah.
One of my favorite quotes at Tribal was actually from Jeff Probst, and he said, well, during tonight's Tribal Council, you used the words knife, ice pick, and chainsaw to describe the vote. Based on the reaction, I'd say it was more like a bomb. Grab your stuff and head back to camp.
Yeah.
A bomb full of chainsaws. Some people got sliced up with that thing. Well, what do you guys think is going to happen next week with the idol's gone? Carolyn still has her idol. Do you think White and the white collar and blue collar still unite and then try to attack him again? You think this is going to, what do you think it's going to do? You know, Shireen flipped. You know, Will was tricked to vote some other way. What do you think is going to happen?
I think that it is probably a pretty strong grouping of 6 to 5. Carolyn, Tyler, Shireen, Haley, Joe, and Jen. I think those five will stick together, but I think there is a good possibility that somebody from the five will probably win immunity challenge, you know?
Yeah, Mike maybe, or Sierra, or maybe Dan, depending on the challenge.
Yeah. Dan can win these things. I mean, he, I don't know, time will tell, but... I think that those six are gonna stay solid. I really can't see anybody pulling one of those six to the other side. I don't know, but
what we saw from the previews, there's definitely immunity idol paranoia.
Yeah. The game is afoot.
That's for sure. Mike is up in trees and peeking through leaves, and they're all out searching for another immunity idol because one's been played, and they're all thinking, you know, we've got to find an idol, and everybody's looking.
Now, didn't somebody from Blue Collar already find the Blue Collar idol?
Not that we've seen.
Okay, for some reason I thought somebody did.
I think they were too busy working. I wasn't just kidding. I think they were
all
too busy working, or they wouldn't let each other go look.
Okay. That definitely clarifies. But, I find it hilarious. I love to see Squirm and just, you know, freak out, and it's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't hate the guy. I think it's just funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He definitely gets paranoia set in.
I think
that the Carolyn and Tyler may think, I don't know, I think they might still go back with Blue. I don't know if they're going to go with the other people yet. I'm not sure.
Really?
I mean, the numbers are wrong, but maybe Shireen doesn't feel as strong knowing that she's fourth now. She just replaced Will, if anything, if she even replaced Will on No Collar. So she may want to, you know, if they link up together and the right things happen, you know, once they get rid of the No Collar, then they could possibly use the idol to get out Blue Collar. So White Collar might be better to go together, Tyler, Carolyn, and Shireen. I don't know.
Yeah.
What a game left, though, for sure. And where they didn't officially say, but my assumption would be the jury starts with this next vote off, but it could wait another one. They like to have if they do a final three, they seem to like an even number of jury members.
Yeah, I didn't understand why they would do a merge and not have somebody that got voted off and not be a jury member, but
yeah. Well, historically, it's been both ways, but I think more often, if it's a three, they like the jury of eight. They think it's less likely to be a tie.
I enjoyed the episode, except for Kelly going.
I hated
to see her go. But it was a fun episode to watch. I love seeing Jen just shock everybody, pull that idol out, and nullify all those votes. I love the challenge. You know, They were great. Everything was, it was a great show, great episode. Just hated to see that, you know, Kelly wound up with only 3 votes going home. It was just really unfortunate.
That was like Wes last season going home with only 2 votes.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, we haven't seen too many people playing their idols like that, and too many people have gone home with idols.
Yeah.
I know, with them in their pocket.
Right.
I just saw Will's quote for the third time. Under that part on the third watching. So,
yeah.
Where Will just did that one. We've already talked about, but it's funny watching it again. And Jeff's just so excited. I have an interesting question. We haven't seen a lot of like cowboy hats or hats except for, you know, Colby's, but Dan somehow has a hat. Do you think that's a fair advantage, unfair advantage to the other people? I don't think anyone else has a hat. You notice how Dan has that little hat he wears, usually a tribal.
Oh.
Any opinions on that?
Kind of like it's helping him keep sun out of his eyes or something.
It could be an advantage if he uses it as the right challenge.
You know what? I didn't think about that. You have a point.
Me neither.
It kind of sounds like to me like it's their choice. It's their option if they have to. Kind of like with those weird shoes that Wu wore in Cagayan.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I have a pair of those, and those things are incredible.
I didn't
those,
have
I know
a lot
you,
of cats
those
wear
things,
those if they want.
Yeah, those things, I'm sure helped him.
Right. So I think it's kind of like they explained about that. Like if you have certain articles, you know, I mean, you're free to keep them on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Maybe
those shoes where all 5 toes are cut out individually.
Yeah.
I mean, they fit on your feet. They make your feet like every individual toe you can just grab on. They're made kind of for climbing and that sort of thing. And you can really grip.
I've got some friends that have worn those in these Survivor games that I've been at, like the Durham Challenge and the Houston Challenge, and people had some serious injuries. So I think it's kind of
somebody told me that they were recalled.
Yeah, I did hear that they will like destroy you if you're not careful.
Yeah, somebody told me that they were recalled.
Foot,
I'm like, I'm keeping mine.
You may like them, yeah. Some people, though, are having some major problems.
Yeah, but I did hear that they were recalled. I guess some people have had some issues with them.
Yeah.
But I do think that that's what helped Wu on some of those challenges.
Yeah.
Because he was able to hold on incredibly on some of those challenges where other people were just like, swing,
fling
it off.
Yeah.
Well, you also got to think, though, too, that he was a martial arts instructor, so that's got to help.
And that teaches you incredible, you know, endurance and strength and so that had to, you know, help him in a lot of ways.
I think they're strong, and I've never worn a pair, but I'll have to give them a try, and maybe I'll like them. But I haven't worn them yet. Well, I'm gonna extend an invitation to Travis, if he's available next week. He's just dealing with some something else off of the scenes. I did get some texts to kind of know what's going on. So, I mean, he's got 5 minutes. Anything could happen. But I'll see what he's doing next week. But I don't think our other guest is coming on to the week after. So if he's available, I'll get him in there. But we'll definitely, I'll see if I can get somebody else to go along with Bubba.
Yeah, I'm sorry that he wasn't able to come on tonight. I'd certainly love to have him back on. I tell you, he told some of the most incredible stories when he was hosting with us. I don't know, Chad, if you were around back then to hear some of the stories he told, but he would tell stories from when he was in Vanuatu that we would just be hanging on to every word. And
wow.
I mean, the stories he told were just some of the most incredible stories we've had anybody tell on any of our shows on the Rad Reality Show Network. He has a way of telling stories, first of all. But he would really tell you the stories that really touched your heart. You know, the stories that you hardly ever hear come out of Survivor. You know, the ones that, you know, people go home and tell their families and, you know, you just hardly don't hear very often. And, oh, my gosh, he just was so open to share, you know, everything that happened out there. And we were so lucky to have him as a host for a couple of seasons. And I'm just so thankful to have heard those stories and to get to know him. He's just such a wonderful guy, and he's so busy. He works hard. He works a lot of hours, and he's a great family guy. He has boys who are, you know, going into college and playing football and getting scouted and all that kind of thing, and he's very, very involved with his kids, and so he's just so busy all the time. And I hated that he couldn't stay on with us, but I understood why he couldn't. But he is a, you know, just a wonderful guy. He's just very, very busy with daily life. And I just can't say enough great things about him. I hope he can come on next week and chat with us and tell us what he thinks about this season. Hopefully he's been able to, you know, at least keep up with the season and knows what's going on. But
hopefully
we'll get him on. Yeah. Because he will tell you exactly what he thinks and probably relate it to a few things that happened to him out in Vanuatu and share a few stories. And I would really love for that to happen.
It was going to be great if he was on the Merge episode, because one of my favorite moments was when they did the tribe swap on his season, and he was like, "Hey, Chris, think about the Merge." And I wanted to ask him about that on the Merge episode. But maybe if Chris or Lori are available, I can maybe rub them in, and maybe Travis will be good to go. And then maybe we can talk about the Merge episode the week after with those two dudes that had an issue with the Merge two episodes before their Merge. So we'll see.
Yeah. We can check with Lori and Chris, and that would be a great episode to have those three on together.
Oh, yeah.
I will send some more texts out and see what they're doing next Thursday.
Sounds like a plan. Well, I hope you guys have a wonderful Good Friday and a wonderful Easter.
You too.
I'm excited. Tomorrow, does the Amazing Race finally come back on? Because it wasn't on Friday, right? Or was it?
Yes. We're finally done with all the March Madness, and the Amazing Race is back on tomorrow.
Okay.
And we'll be doing the Amazing Race second pit stop tomorrow night. So everything is back on track, finally.
All right.
3 week hiatus. That's crazy.
Well, it sucks that March Madness did that to the Amazing Race because I like them both. But I am in our lead in our office pool by 8 points going into the Final Four. So if Connecticut for the ladies and Kentucky for the men both win, I'm going to get $65 worth of gift certificates, and my ladies aren't going to get anything. So we'll see.
All right, I'm glad you're up for Kentucky.
Kentucky is my pick, and then Connecticut for the women. So.
Well, you know our host, Marion David Conley.
Oh, they're Kentucky enthusiasts.
True Kentuckians.
Well, the team's got a chance to make history, be the first Division I men's program to win 40. I think Baylor did a couple years ago for the ladies, but no Division I men's team's gone undefeated since 76 with the Indiana team. So history could happen.
Yeah, a funny thing happened to me today when I was working. A lady came through my line. And I'm from Cincinnati, and she says, well, you sound like you have a Kentucky accent. I was like, no, I'm not from Kentucky, but I'll take it.
Well, come next Monday, you might want to have a Kentucky accent when they win the national championship.
There you go.
Go Wildcats.
Well, guys, we're getting a thunderstorm here.
We're getting one here, too.
Yeah.
I have one thing quickly to mention as we're closing up. It's been an hour and 31 minutes in a thunderstorm. While texting Travis, my phone stayed on the entire time.
Wow.
Oh, yay to my phone. That's a maybe we're breaking the trend of it going out every freaking show.
Here we go. I want to play this just for you.
Yay to my phone. It made it.
It's been a while since you stayed on without dropping off for the entire show.
My longevity here, I'm getting my sea legs, so there you go.
You're just recently in a severe thunderstorm warning covers where you live in. So hunker down, take care of your little ones, and we'll see you guys tomorrow night.
All righty.
All right. Yeah. Good night, everybody.
And just as a final note, we won our hockey game tonight and clinched our playoff berth. So the Blues will be in the playoffs. Yay, us. I want to remind everybody. Yay. I want to remind everybody to come back and join us here at the Rad Reality Show Network tomorrow evening at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central for our Amazing Race Second Pit Stop Show. We'll have Marion David Conley, our host, and we're finally going to be back talking about the Amazing Race, so make sure you join us for that, and then be back here on Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for the Manic Monday Show with Michelle Costa. We're going to go ahead and close this one down for tonight, and I hope everyone has a wonderful Good Friday and a great Easter Sunday. Thank you all for joining us tonight. It's been fun talking about Survivor Worlds Apart with Big Mike Albright. We thank you, Big Mike, for all you do. It's just so much fun talking Survivor with you because you know so much about Survivor. We enjoy all the knowledge that you bring to the table and all the little tidbits that you know that we would have no idea about. Like you knew all the three women and the three men who had won the challenge before. All those little tidbits that you bring to us that we wouldn't know those things if we didn't have you. So thank you so much for being our host. And I hope you have a wonderful weekend. And to all our listeners out there as well, here's Ron to take us out tonight. Good night, everybody. Have a great weekend. Here's Ron.
I want to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in. God bless you, and thank you for listening to the show. And it was a great one.
It was a great one. Be kind to each other. Remember to take care of your four-footed friends as well. That's a wrap for us tonight. Say good night, guys.
Good night.
Good night, guys.
Good night, everyone. God bless.